I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad, and we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
Anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair, and
my knee hurts.
My arm is kind of rash.
Is that a rash?
And I had Asian food, and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant.
Welcome back to Definitely Dying, friends.
Hello.
Hello. Hello, and how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah. We'll wait for you to answer.
Can I wait? We can cut this out if it's too much of a digression, but I was watching an old season of RuPaul's Drag Race, and there's such a funny moment where they surprise one of the queens by, like, bringing like five of her family members on stage, and the way she greets all of them is on stage, just one by one, going, "How are you? How are you? How are you? How are you?" And not waiting for a response, like, not like, I can't stop thinking about it. Such a funny hollow use of the question, "How are you?"
I know, and like, and such a formal wording of the question, "How are you?"
I know,
like,
I know. When you've been surprised by your family on stage in front of a huge audience on television.
Rhetorically speaking, how are you? Rhetorically speaking, how are you? Well, not rhetorically speaking, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. How about you?
I'm good, too. I feel like I should be just okay. Well, I would be okay, except yesterday I did something stupid and... really stupid, childlike stupid. And I should be injured. I felt like last night I was pretty sure, like, as I was going to bed, I was like, oh, I'm going to be, like, hurt tomorrow. And it's like, you know, I always get that sort of feeling whenever I'm in a position where I can't afford to be sick or injured.
Yeah.
In this case, like, I'm doing this one-day seminar for my class, which I meant to promote. Promoting it now. If you're listening
you
to this.
You have a time machine.
Yes, exactly, yeah. If you're listening to this and you have a time machine, the one-day seminar was 2 days ago. come on out. Come through, as the kids say. So I had that, like, giant fear that, like, I wasn't going to be able to walk because of what happened. So basically what happened was, and you'll agree immediately, this was a very stupid thing to do.
I can't wait to hear.
So I have this yoga ball at my house, right?
Cool.
The yoga ball was just, like, sitting on the ground, and I was looking over at the yoga ball. And I thought to myself, and I don't know why I thought this, partly because it was, like, late and I hadn't eaten dinner yet and I'm stupid. But basically my thought was, I wonder if I could Superman on top of that ball.
And so, Ben!
So I got on the ball and, like, sort of slowly inched my way forward until I got to, like, the point of no return where, like, I no longer had balance over myself or the ball. And at that point, I was fucked. I was just completely fucked. And so I'm, like, wobbling to and fro.
Oh, geez.
You can't see me, but I'm illustrating the to and the fro of my waddle, and then decided, because what was on my left was very dangerous, that I was going to make a hard throw to the right. And so in order to make a hard throw, you have to kind of lean the other direction. And I did not make the throw. And so I went left and then just tipped over and landed. And this was like, this is both the saving grace and what injured me, or what I thought was going to injure me. I landed on top of a bottle.
Glass bottle?
Yes, a glass bottle that was on top of my glass coffee table.
No!
So the bottle is what kept me from smashing through the glass coffee table. So I would have been much more injured. I'd probably be dead and just no one would know it for like 2 or 3 days because that's like kind of the life I lead.
I don't think,
like,
you'd be dead, but I think you'd be pretty scratched.
Yeah. No, I'd be dead in 2 or 3 days after.
You'd have like a bandage on your face. You'd be one of those face bandage guys.
Yeah, that's true. The dream. But yeah, it'd be face bandaged at the very least.
At least.
Yeah, yeah. Like you mean like full like that movie Dark Man or whatever? Like my like I just can't
I was
show my
you'd
face.
You'd have like gauze on one side of your face,
right,
and
right.
people would be like, "Is that a crazy man or an unlucky
yeah.
man?"
Right, right.
Because it really is just one of the two.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I can prove both. I think there are plenty of days where I really straddle that line.
Do you know I auditioned for a part in like I don't know something like a cold case or a CSI like probably like years and years ago, maybe 8 years ago, and it was the part of a lady. His whole face had been sliced off.
Oh, yikes.
So if I had gotten it, I would have just been face bandaged the whole. I would have had two scenes, one where I'm jogging and a man cuts my face off. And then a scene where I have a fully bandaged face and I see the man who cut my face off.
I wonder if you could be both parts or if there's like a certain actress that they bring in for bandage parts. Like she just plays sliced off face better. Like you don't have the life experience to pull it off. Like she can play a jogger who gets attacked.
Yeah, yeah.
But once she has no face, she has no frame of reference for that.
Yeah.
I think you could have done it though. You'd be great.
Thank you. Thank you. I wonder who got it too.
I can only hope that it's someone who legitimately had their face cut off. In that same way where we, you know, well, actually, I'm not going to say that next part. Anyway, so yeah, I fell on top of the table in this bottle. I ended up like my leg kicked the bottle, and then I sort of just like hit the side of the table,
mm-hmm.
and immediately like. I don't even know what you call it when I guess it's a varicose vein or whatever. But like you think of those in like old people, right?
Yeah.
Like that blue vein or whatever that you have like near your feet and ankles. You know,
I don't think it's a varicose vein. I think if those veins start popping up in other parts of your legs,
gotcha.
Then that's a varicose. Oh,
okay,
vein.
So that thing. It like immediately swelled, and so then I just like put ice on it and went to bed, and was like, okay, when I wake up, I'm not going to be able to walk because that's usually what happens
yeah.
when I like bump my knee or something
yeah,
the next
yeah.
day, like I'm badly limping.
Yeah.
But today I woke up totally fine.
Really?
Yeah. So so in plenty of other ways, life is bad. but in that specific way, I'm okay.
But hey, yeah. you're okay. You're
yeah,
not a
yeah.
bandage face man.
I'm not a bandage face man.
And you were not cosmically punished for doing something very stupid.
Yeah, no, I wasn't. Which is like, if you're going to end up bandage face man, the bandage face man, it should be for doing something stupid. Like, you shouldn't be able to, like when the tree fell on my brother's head,
yeah.
he was like angry at
yeah.
the tree for a super long time. Like, you want to be angry at yourself
yeah.
for ending up the bandage face
yeah.
man, the bandage face man.
Okay, so I have one more. Your story gave me a question
mm-hmm.
Before we start the podcast. Did you get hurt on your birthday this year?
No. No, I don't think I did.
I thought you didn't. Because you talking about not waking up and not being able to walk reminded me of the last time you got hurt. Or it reminded me of all your birthday injuries.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And how you get hurt
mm-hmm.
every birthday. And it made me realize that we did not talk about you getting injured on your birthday this year. Meaning I think you didn't.
I don't think I did. I also think that I didn't. Do anything on my birthday. Like I sort of like the thing that would happen every year is the day before my birthday, I would go and do something like play like, you know, like kickball or like
yeah,
that kind
yeah.
of thing and get injured doing it. And this year I just like stayed inside and like I think I like padded my apartment and like.
Did you really?
No.
I laughed like that was a joke and then I was like, is that not a joke?
Yeah.
You got hurt in your brain.
Really, yeah. Oh, no. I think since this last birthday, I've gotten dumber, but I've had to just sort of accept that I'm so far removed from school and so close removed from weed. That just like chances are I'm dumb. And that's okay because I'm also a genius.
But yeah, maybe by turning 40, you mm-hmm. broke the Axelrod birthday curse. I just want to throw it out
possible.
There. I'm not going to say it's definitive because
yeah,
I don't
yeah,
want to like
right.
– I'm not trying to counter curse you. But that's pretty exciting.
41, bandage face man. No, I think you're right. And I will also say that like this was the birthday that I was happiest on of the last set. Like, I think that something happened around, like, 35. Like, I think that's approximately when I started getting injured on my birthdays, where I became, like, one, more aware of human aging. Like, my empirical experience of aging, like, sort of all of a sudden caught up to me. Like, before that, I think I was always living in the byproduct of my immaturity. Mm-hmm. Like, I was just sort of like, nothing bad could ever happen to me. Yeah. And then all of a sudden I realized bad things could happen to me, and they just started happening like very regularly. And then at 40, I was like, that's okay if bad things happen. Like, I think I'm supposed to, I'm like a full adult now.
Yeah, they can happen. It's okay. Yeah. Well, great. On that piece of wisdom, should we start the podcast?
Yeah.
Great. We have a great guest tonight. I'm so excited to introduce him. You can see him all over the UCB Theater. You can see him perform with his Herald team, the Dragons. You can see him perform with White Women the second Friday of every month at 10:30 p.m. at UCB Sunset. You can see him host the Cage Match every damn Wednesday at UCB Franklin at 11. Just come to UCB. You'll probably see him. Ronnie Adrian, hello.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, Ronnie.
Hello. Hope everyone at home is clapping.
I realize I said we have a very good guest tonight, which is true. It's true, nighttime. But it felt like not the way you introduce a podcast. It feels like people will probably listen to this in the daytime because they're probably listening to it while they're like driving to the dentist or...
No, it's 8:12. You're going to need to wait until 8:12 to turn this podcast on. Ronnie's going to be here chilling.
You got it.
So, Ronnie, we like to start this off with the same question for all of our guests. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
On a scale of 1 to 10, truthfully, I think I naively think about death maybe about a 3 or 4. Concentratedly, I'll think about it like within the span of time, maybe at like a 7. But then they'll usually dissipate, and my normal death thinking is like 3 or 4.
Okay.
I was going to ask, what makes it spike up to a 7?
It usually is like, I'm really into like documentaries and things like that. So it's usually around the ones where like I'm watching people or watching something, and then you hear somebody's really inspiring story or other kind of stuff, like the work they've done. And then it, then just retroactively makes you realize how little you've done. And then it also then makes it go like, and then you start thinking about how old you are and like where you are and where they were and like what they, all that type of stuff. And I think that's when it spikes up to be like, what am I doing? Like, you know, and then I think that's when death comes into play because it is like, you don't know. Like, you don't
totally.
Know.
Nothing pisses me off more than like a 13-year-old prodigy at this point. Like, why are you so good at violin, you little motherfucker? That's my general attitude, I think, going into the day.
I will honestly say, that's why I was doing this podcast. It's funny, like, 2 nights ago, I was just at home. You know, like, sometimes you just flip it through, like, your Netflix or your HBO Go or whatever. And I stumbled across a documentary on Nora Ephron.
Oh, yeah.
And it was... Yeah, I mean, it was interesting because it was like her son, he did the documentaries, all this type of stuff. And, you know, you just kind of learn about this person and, you know, all of like, you know, like how cool she was or how good she was, but also how like flawed and like how all this type of stuff is, right? But it was interesting because her thing was she had got cancer in like 2006.
Oh.
And she had it until she died, or it got worse. She got like leukemia, and that's what she died from in 2012. Uh-huh. And she didn't tell anybody. Like, she told, like, a very, like, small, like, you know, a very handful of people about it. And so when she just up and was sick and pretty much died very shortly after, everyone who's, like, actually really good friends with her is just like, what? Like, so the documentary is kind of that thing where it's people like, and I was a good, like, why didn't she tell, you know, like, all this type of stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, like, half of it is, like, realizing kind of, like, how selfish it is. So it's an interesting documentary just because it, like, it's really into her thing. But I only bring this up because, like, there's a certain point when they in the documentary where they go like in 2006 when she got it, and then those 6 years, it was they went over all the stuff that she had did within that those years, and it's like, oh, that's somebody working very hard because they know they're dying. So she had wrote like all these books and was doing tons of articles and like making a couple movies and like all this type of stuff. And in my head, and I was thinking about it, I was like, I need to work more as if, like, I know I'm dying. I think I live like I'm, you know, invincible. But, like, it is that thing of being, like, you are going to die one day. And I have fun with my life, but at the same time, I think there I could implement a little bit more work ethic in, like, how I kind of do things in order to kind of, like, I don't know, finish stuff.
At least more of a sense of urgency about, like, completing the things that we I've definitely gotten to a point in my life where, like, I really beat up on myself if I don't finish something. Like, I can't accept that about me. Like, even if I start something stupid, like, I gotta finish it. I mean, sometimes I'll finish it quicker just so I can get it out of the way. But, like, the idea that in my mind that I would die a quitter is, like, the worst thing that I could imagine. That, like, whatever, like, that'll be the last thoughts of me is, like, that guy didn't believe in himself. That guy was, like, thought he was as pathetic as I legitimately do think that I am. But, like, my work ethic is the one lie that I tell that makes it seem like I believe in me.
I love that. That should be, like, a footnote, like, because there's all that, like, believe in yourself. You should dream. Like, I want a poster that's, like, believe in yourself with your actions.
That's actually pretty good.
That is good. that'll be like hanging on your wall next to the cat hang in there cat poster. How close have you ever come to death? Like, what's the closest you've ever approached?
What is the closest I've ever approached death? I don't know. I think, like, I tend to live, not worry free, but just definitely just like, you know, I'm of the ethos is like, if it happens, it happens. You know, I try to set myself up to like be successful and to like, you know, not, you know, to stay out of trouble. But at the same time, sometimes, you know, stuff happens. I remember one time I was at a, when I was younger, I was at a party, and at this party, this is funny. For everyone who doesn't know, I am black. and I say this because I was at this party. And so it was a backyard party. It was pretty fun or whatever. And so, like, this crew of guys, they came in and they had this really, really big, buff white dude. Like, and he was, like, super cool with everybody, but it was, like, this white dude. So it was that type of, it's that kind of that Chappelle joke where it is, like, the white dude in the crew, like, he must have got something to prove. But they knew it, so, like, they was, like, somebody got into an altercation, so this dude was, like, so this white dude was, like, just waxing guys, just, like, nah, just, like, you know, like, oh, okay, whatever. So we're all, like, oh, you know, like, everything was going crazy. And then, like, you know, long story short, and this is happening a bunch of times growing up, where it is, like, then at some point somebody has a gun and pulls a gun out. And I remember, and I still think about this to this day, because I remember, like, you know, you heard gunshots, and then so everyone starts running. And I remember this, and I think about it every now and then because I remember running so fast. I remember running like that. Says, you know how like you're running and you're like looking at everyone, and you're like, man, I am running so much faster than everybody. And I still feel like it's the fast. I was like, I wish I could have timed myself. Like, I really, like, I literally think, man, like, I think I was going the fastest anyone has ever ran. And I still think about that, like, periodically of being like, man, I was so fast.
It makes you think, like, you know, they've got, like, the starter pistol when you run. Like, if they pointed it at you while you're running, like, people would go so much faster.
There was no starter pistol. It just was a surprise.
They say competition breeds excellence. No, it's a gun. It's always a gun. That's what makes people run there fastest.
Like, that's the thing. It's like, it wasn't even a moment of like, I was scared. It was just more of just being like, obviously it's like, it's survival, but it wasn't just like that thing. So even within that, and I think maybe that's why I'm a comedian, because it is like, I do like look at the humor in a lot of stuff. So like, it is that notion of being just like, oh man, like every, like just seeing things so much differently.
Yeah.
Like, I will say this though, talking about death, I think, I was raised by my mother, a single mother. And even though like, I know my dad, me and my dad, I have a relationship. It's, I remember we had lived like in a different state than he did for like, I don't know, like from the time I was 2 to like I was 12 when we moved back. Mm-hmm. And so like I would only see my dad in the summer. And, you know, like, I see my dad, and it was cool, but me and my dad are just different people. So, like the things that I liked, you know, or the things I liked to do, he didn't necessarily, like, really like that and or support that, so mm-hmm. to speak, which is, you know, which is not necessarily, like, unheard of. It's sure. just, like, yeah. you know, he's just a different, you know, like, a different generation of person than I am. Yeah. Like, and, but I remember the first time when I realized that, where I realized how much I loved my dad. Was when we had moved back to South Carolina, and I was probably like maybe like 14 or 15, mm-hmm. and my mom pulled me out of school and was like, "We have to go see your dad," and I was like, "What?" And so we went to the hospital, and my dad, it's like when I, he had diabetes, and mm-hmm. so like it really got really bad, and we went to the hospital. And he's, like, in the bed, and he's, like, all, like, weak and stuff. And he's, like, hooked up to all this this machine and all this type of stuff. And my dad is a very big guy. Like, yeah. he's like, just as tall as me, but, like, way bigger. Yeah. Like, a way bigger human being than I am. So, and he has, like, this deep voice. So, like, to me, it's, like, I don't know. It's, like, the notion of being, like, if you're a kid and you see your dad, it's, like, this big booming figure. So that's yeah. how he always seemed yeah. to me. And he always had the attributes of that. So it was, yeah. like, this thing. And so, like, I get to the hospital, I see this man, and he seems so much, like, weaker yeah, and yeah. feeble, yeah. all this type of stuff yeah. where you kind of just see, like, oh, like, a real person in front of you. And it, and that's the first time I realized, like, oh, like man, like, I was super sad about it. And it was, like, the thing that just been like, oh, like, it really made me realize that thing. I think that's the first time when the idea of, like, of like death yeah. and its importance and its effect really kind of hit me because mm-hmm. up until that point and even still after that, not that many people in my immediate family had died.
Yeah.
Which is a feat because my yeah. mom is like one of nine people, like nine kids, and my dad oh, yeah. is like one of five, and they all have kids and all this type of stuff, and none of them really, like, you know, until like I hit like 19 or 20 when people kind of started to like pass away.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
But I really was never really affected by that, by immediate family, so it never really hit me until that yeah. moment where like I saw him and being like, this could be it.
Yeah. Yeah. Is he okay?
Yeah.
Is he, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. He's fine. Had to get a better diet. He's still. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, they're still alive.
Good. Good.
They're super old. My mom's turning 70 this year, so
whoa.
Like,
yeah.
you take it for granted, man, because like it seemed fine or whatever. Yeah. But the more I think about it, I'm like, man, it's, like. The stats are against them. Like,
oh, yeah.
that's why I'm going home later on this year because it's like I haven't been home in years.
Oh,
it's like,
so for real?
I need to go home because it is like, you know, like I'm not wishing them dead. I don't think as they seem pretty healthy, but it is like, you know, the higher you get, you are pushing the odds.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
and you won't want to have not gone home, you know? I mean, yeah. that's the thing. Is, yeah, no, I'm,
it's so
I'm,
much how it's so interesting how much that's for you. Like, you're just protecting yourself mm-hmm. in case anything happens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. yeah. What were you gonna say?
Oh no.
Yeah,
you.
So you once you where are you from? First of all, where are you
going back to? South Carolina.
Oh right. And then once you were 19, did you start experiencing a lot of death, or was it just sort of normal? Like people got to the age. You just mentioned that, like.
Well, yeah, I think really the first death was it my. My mom's sister, her son died.
Oh.
And her son was, he was physically disabled. So, yeah. like, from the time he was born to the time, like, they had to pretty much raise him.
Yeah.
Like, because he couldn't really, like, do anything for yeah. himself. And, you know, he was alive for a long time. And just, he just passed.
Yeah.
And, you know, like. You know, understandably, they all took it hard yeah. or whatever. And I remember that was the first time I had went back home for a funeral.
Because where were you?
I was here.
Here. Oh.
I was here. So I had to be 20. I was 20.
Yeah.
So it's like that time I was 20. And so, like, you know, you go home and you're like, oh, okay, like, oh, like, you know, like you're seeing this thing. And it's kind of just like washing over you in a sort yeah. of sense or whatever. Like, I should say that, like, at a very young age, I trained myself not to cry. So,
really?
Like, yeah.
Why?
Because I was, when I was younger, I was a huge crybaby. And when I was growing up, like I said, I lived with my mom. And I didn't want people to think that it was a product of me being raised with my mom that I cried so much.
Yeah.
So, and then I just stopped myself from crying. So whenever, like, I would be in, like, huge pain or whatever, like, I would just laugh uncontrollably. I looked insane. and I just remember one time I got hurt so bad. Like, I had to, like, I twisted my knee playing intermittent basketball. And I couldn't get up and walk or whatever, and I was in so much pain. And I'm, like, laughing super hard, but it was so much pain. Like, I was laughing very, like, hard, but tears were streaming out of my face. Like, and everyone, they just didn't they didn't know what was going on.
Looked like you were just exploding.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. It truly is. It's one of those things where it was very, now it's kind of just a thing that, whatever. So, like, it is just kind of that thing where it is, like, so to cry sometimes for me, that just kind of, like, just sweeps over me. Where
me too.
Like, oh, okay.
Like, you'll just, like, if you cry, you just bawl, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it all comes out.
Yeah,
like,
me, I'm just like, just let it go then. Yeah. You'll forget it. And then, like, so that was that thing. And then, you know, I come back here. And then, you know, a few months later, the mom of the child that died, she dies.
That's your mom's sister.
That's my mom's sister, and she dies. And I didn't go home for that one. And then, it's, you know, like, and then a couple more people, you know, passed, whatever. Like, one of my dad's brothers passed, another one of my dad's brothers passed, and my mom's dad died. You know, all this type of stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So then it really starts to go like, oh, like, the people in your family really start to kind of, oh, okay, like, now you're seeing it. And maybe I'd be affected by it more if I was actually in it, like living there, like experiencing that thing. But like being here in that distance, it kind of like, I don't know, it serves as some sort of like a wall to that type of thing.
Yeah. Does it ever make you wish you were closer or?
It really doesn't. Yeah. Like,
I want to go further. Get me to the beach.
I will say this, like I was cleaning up my, room one time, and I was going through old stuff, and in it there was like a in one of these like boxes or like an old envelope or something, there was like a newspaper clipping, and it was like of my dad's brothers, like it was like, you know, like the obituary or whatever. And in that moment I went, oh right, I forgot he died. Right, and because it was just like it was that removed, and then I just totally didn't. And then I was like, oh, you know, like it was kind of that thing. It was kind of like, oh,
can I change the subject for a second? Ronnie, you have the biggest hands I think I've ever seen. Put your hand up next to mine.
Wait, I was noticing
Jesus
too.
Christ.
Wait, can I? Yeah, can put you put it up to me? I have pretty big hands too. But, oh my gosh. Wait, they're so much bigger than mine, and mine are bigger than most men's hands.
Ron, did you get a picture? Okay, so we'll be able to show you guys at home. Of course, you showed it compared to Madeline.
But I have very large hands.
You do. You know, we've compared, and they're pretty close.
Yeah.
Yeah, you got a good length finger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, I was thinking about, as I changed the subject again, I was thinking about that thing that when you were telling the story about the guy pulls out a gun and you just like run as fast as you can. Mm-hmm. And then like I'm thinking, because I spend a lot of time on the internet researching mountain lions. Don't know why. I just do like them. And I just do. I spend a lot of time researching pretty much every day in the bathroom. I type mountain lion into Google. I would almost guarantee that it's in my top five searches just to prove it, because since we already talked about Ronnie's penis, I want the audience to know that I speak truth. Mm-hmm. So that's the thing, is that I found this video from like a couple of weeks back where some like guys were walking through the sequoias, I think, and they happened upon a mountain lion, and this mountain lion is like perched atop a rock just staring daggers at them. Like, you assume all the thing is thinking is like, I'm going to pounce and then I have my dinner. I got these two backpackers and I'm going to gobble them up. And so then they're sitting there and they're thinking to themselves, okay, what is the thing that you're supposed to do with mountain lions? And they're like, oh, right, you're supposed to like make yourself really big and you don't run away and you like make a lot of noises and you throw things and you act like you're not the prey, you're the predator. And it's, in my head, I'm thinking like, by the time that occurs to me, I've already been running so fast. Yeah. I've also been murdered by a mountain lion because then their predator instinct sets in and they chase you. And that's why you don't run from a mountain lion. But how does a person in that moment think to themselves, I'm not going to run from an apex predator, you know? Like, I mean, that's the gun thing. Like, if they told you, like, don't run from guns or they'll immediately go off and shoot you. Like, that's not the case. You run as fast as you can. Like, how does a person's instinct set in and also their, like, intellectualized approach to a situation? Like, do you guys understand what I'm sort of getting at?
Yeah.
I would say, like, I think it's one of those things where, like, you know, I think some people, like, really snap into action. It's like, oh, and it's run. And I think for some people, and it's probably I fall in this other category where it's like it's that freeze moment. Mm. And I think that freeze moment is where you go, like, what do I do?
Yeah.
Like, I remember, you know, when I was growing up, like, whenever I'd be walking home by myself or, like, I'd just be it'd be rather late at night or just whatever, I'd just be walking home, like, I would – one thing that I would always do was look for things to be able to kind of like jump on top of.
Yeah, yeah.
Because every now and then, I don't want to say like it was like this regular occurring thing, but every now and then just you would just see a stray dog like running on the street.
Oh,
and like
yeah.
and like, you know, and it would be like rather like a stray, like any type of dog. So it could be like a pit bull or anything like this. And, you know, sometimes they see you and they immediately run toward, like, they're running towards you. And it's not like a happy thing. Like, oh, hey, it's like, I'm running towards you and I'm going to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, whenever so that kind of fear, so to speak, so anytime I would be walking, I would be looking to see what I could jump on just in case that would happen. So, I think, like, in the same idea, it's like, you know, I don't think I would be, I don't know, I would like to pretend that I would be brave enough to be like, time to just stand here in the pocket and be big and throw this weapon. Like, you know, like, no, you know, you got to do this thing, right? But then at the same time, I'd probably be like, how do I escape this?
That's what I'm thinking. And I've definitely, I've climbed on top of a car. I've been chased twice by dogs in L.A. Yeah, when I first moved here, I swear it was like, like a mythological wolf. It was like the scariest animal I've ever seen, and I was like very brazen with it. Like it was behind a fence and it was barking up a storm, and I was like, shut the fuck up. And then I looked, and then I like walked to my car and I looked up, and the dog was like coming like full throttle at me.
It turned into a man, unlocked the fence, closed the fence behind, and turned back into a dog and came for you.
Because it was a mythological wolf, and that's what they do. That's what they do. And it was coming for me. It must have, like, maybe it did unlock the gate and then lock it again after because it did look close. But I assume it just barreled through, and it belonged to some people who I was told were Russian mafia. So, like, this had happened a few times before, and no one was willing to do anything about it. And so, like, I just booked it. You know, like, I mean, my instinct, my freeze and, like, figure it out instinct did not set in. I just ran as fast as I could back to this house, slammed the door shut, got in, like, just before it arrived.
Ugh.
Eventually, like, the police came. I wasn't there at that point, but, like, the police came, and neighbors described hearing a high-pitched shriek that could have only come from me or the dog. And I described that dog. It came from me. No question. It came from me. And, and then people, like, went to court, and, like, they asked, you know, I was supposed to come be a witness, but... once the police report says that you're the high-pitched screaming woman, you don't have your day in court. Anyway, that's my story.
you talked about this a little before, but how fearful are you on a daily basis, like in your life now?
In my life now, I'm truly not fearful. Unless I have to be. Because, like I said, it's honestly a thing of, like, I try not to live in my head in that way that, you know, kind of deters me from, like, having good experiences.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it's one of those things where there's, like, I try to choose to have more of a positive outlook on things, which, you know, then it doesn't necessarily mean that I'm still very, like, wary of, like, you know, my surroundings at times, or just, like, you know, I'm still very cognizant of, like, what's going on around me. But I'm not the person that's like, and like I said, some of the times it's like, this is naively, because, like, I'll be in a situation, let's say, for instance, and I'll be somewhere and not thinking about it. I'm like, I'm just here. Like, it doesn't feel anything. Like, this doesn't feel like a bad neighborhood. It doesn't feel like a bad time. It doesn't feel like anything, whatever. And then after the fact, I'll tell somebody who's probably more knowledgeable about, you know, the area or the thing. And they'll be like, what? Like, that's, you know, X amount of this. And, like, and that's what he thinks. It's like, that's crazy. You can't be. And I'll just be like, oh, it never dawned on me. Yeah. But then I realized, because, like, they would be telling me that, that's what would make me more, like, afraid of, like, doing that thing, because somebody told me that, as opposed to just, like, my experience in a thing. I don't know. I feel I trust my gut in a way, so to speak.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's kind of, you know, gotten me where it's like, I'm not saying, like, I haven't made mistakes, but, you know, so as far as, like, fear and stuff goes, I mean, I'm afraid of, you know, like, the regular stuff, but I'm not, you know, in the sense of on the scale, because there's people who I know who are just like, you know, they're afraid of everything. Like, you know, like, a car crash, you could do all this type of stuff. And I tend not to think about that type of stuff. You know, and like I said earlier, maybe in a way that, you know, not enough that it hinders me from actually, like, you know what I'm saying, like, consistently, like, making effort. But then also, it is a way that lets me kind of, like, experience, you know, the stuff in front of me you know, more richly, or whatever word I'm looking for that I can't find right now. So
richly's good.
Have you always been like that, or was that, like, a conscious decision that you made at a certain point in your life?
Honestly, I think I've always leaned towards this. I've always just kind of, like, I grew up very religious.
Oh, interesting.
So, in the sense of it, it's like, Baptist, Methodist, like, Christian, definitely. There was always this sense of just, like, you know, give it to him, right?
Yeah,
you know
what I'm saying?
Like, all right. And so, for me, that was kind of freeing, because it's like, all right, here it is. I'm praying to you, like, blah, 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 so on and so forth. All right, bye-bye. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, there's almost something freeing about it in a way.
Yeah.
Like, and I, you know, like, you know, I'm in this comedy community, and, you know, most of the comedy community, people do not believe in God.
Do you believe in God?
And they are not afraid to tell you.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah.
I do. I understand.
So do I. But it's, like, feels like, like such a nerdy thing. You're not, or not, like, people, it seems like it sounds insane to people.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I get it. I understand it. I understand, like, people's point of view on it. And I understand, like, where people are coming from a lot of the time.
Of course.
But I also think it's, like, even if it isn't, like, what we think of God, I feel like there is something out there that is necessarily. So, in that sense, like, for me, that's why it's always this idea of being, like, put it like this. I always say, like, and I tell my mom this, because she's still very, very religious. So every time I talk to her, it's like she's trying to save me. Like, it's like she's talking to me because it's as if, like, she feels that if, like, she doesn't get me into heaven, like, she's failed. And I'm always like, Mom, like, you know, like, you know, you've done everything, like, you've set everything in front of me. It's like, you've taught me all the rules and all the type of stuff. So, like, you know, your job is done at this point. Now it's like, it's on me if, you know, I fail. Like, I'm in my mind, I'm like, if I were to die right now, like, if you know, like, if, let's say, like, everything that they say about the Bible or whatever is true, you know, and, like, and all the rules that, you know, we hear are exactly how it is, then I would 100% be going to hell. But I'm okay with that. Like, as of right now, like, I'm okay with that because I've made my choices, whatever, whatever. And that's what I try to tell her. So for me, like, it is that thing of just being, like, it's always just been, like, here's what the thing is. And I always try to, you know, do my best to make sure, like, I'm not necessarily, like, you know, in bad situations.
Yeah.
And, or, like, in a situation, like, because, you know, just stuff happens anywhere. It can happen anytime. But, like, I think there's, like, a difference between the notion of just being, like, well, I was at a store and, you know, like, and then something happened and then, like, you know, like, and then the police came and we got arrested or whatever, you know, but you were just there recreational, or you was there being like, well, my friend was robbing a store and I was looking out the window, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that's a different scenario, so to speak. You know what I'm saying? So I try to avoid those as much as possible. So yeah,
you're more of a getaway driver.
Yeah, I'm definitely more of a getaway driver. Definitely more of a getaway driver. Or just a, like, hey, let me know if you guys made it home safely. Like, give me a call after you're done with your robbery to let me know.
A conscientious friend of criminals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That it went off without a hitch. You know, like,
I didn't get your text.
Hey guys, just checking up on you, seeing what's going on. Call me back. I'm at home all night. Pretty safe and sound here.
So do you startle easily? Like, if so, you mentioned that that you're very aware of your surroundings. Like, if someone was to come up behind you and like tap you on a shoulder and you didn't notice them beforehand, is that the sort of thing that like, are you calm in those situations like you typically seem to be, or do you kind of frazzle?
No, I think I'm pretty well. I think if that happens, I can be startled because I feel like I'm pretty aware of what's going on around me. But just because, like, I have headphones and I'm listening to my headphones 95% of the time that I'm out in the world. So, like, knowing that, like, I tend to keep my head on a swivel a little bit just because it's, like, not necessarily even just, like, I'm afraid of people. Just everything around you, from whether it be, like, you know, rogue drivers or anything. Like, you know, especially in this city, like, people are on bikes all the time and boards and all that type of stuff. Yeah. So, like, if you can't really hear what's going on, you need to be able to kind of see what's going on at least. And so, for me, like, it's very hard to kind of creep up on me in that way. So, I think, like, if somebody does, maybe I could be startled. Yeah. Like, but yeah, but for the most part, it's like, but once again, it is that thing of just being like, kind of seeing what's going on and then knowing when to like, go like, I think I'm gonna head back.
Cause I'm very much the same way, very much head on a swivel, always thinking that like, that the thing is coming from whichever direction I'm not. So always like this. So if someone sneaks past my periphery and like gets a tap, I'm like, oh, I turn around ready to fight. And I don't fight. I never fight. Like, I mean, it's not, I would lose badly in the fight. But yeah, like I turn around like ready, like I assume that I'm going to be murdered anytime someone taps me on the shoulder and I don't see them. Yeah.
All right. I know. Just yell your name when I see you.
Yes, please do. Yeah.
Ben, it's Ronnie. I'm going to tap you now.
I'm going to kill you, Ronnie.
Still didn't work.
How much do you get sick often?
What's funny is like, I was asked that in the lobby, and
you were in the lobby.
Truly, right before.
Dolly Dog has a hostess that seats you before you come in. That's one of the things they ask you: a table for how many?
And I honestly, I don't.
I would have been my guess.
Me too.
I would have guessed you as a person who does not get sick. I don't know why, but
yeah, I just don't. I think. Every now and then, like, I'll get something where it's like, oh, this is not great.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know people who are, like, sick all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, or at least, like, X amount of times a year. And for me, it's like, I will really get sick about once.
Yeah.
If that. You know, and there might, and every now and then it'll be like, oh, it's a little scratchy or whatever. Yeah. So then, like, I'll just stop, like, eating the bullshit that I eat for a while and just drink more water and I'd be good.
Do you eat a lot of bullshit?
Oh, all the time. That's all I eat. That's all I eat. Like, I asked somebody at work the other day, at my job, I was like, hey, like, do you eat a mixture of the same things every week? You know, like, because he has like a family.
Yeah.
And so, like, I was asking, because I was just like, is what I do, because, like, my weekly meals consist of rather like pizza, tacos, chicken on a Tuesday. And then I just added burritos in the mix not too long ago. So, like, I go to like Cactus Taco and get like a nice wet burrito every night. But it's really just like a mixture. Oh, and then like maybe Thai food and or Panda Express. Like, I hated Panda Express for like the first 8 years or so that I lived here. And then one day I went and was like, I think it was San Francisco, and we were at a mall, and I was like, everyone was going somewhere else. I was like, I get so much to eat over here.
Yeah.
And I was like, even though I hate this, I was like, wow, this ain't bad. Like, I feel like whatever that time was 8 years ago, I just had bad Panda Express. It was like, oh, never again. And I was like, this isn't that bad. Yeah. So, like, I just kind of added that back into my repertoire of bad foods to eat.
I think that is how Panda Express happens. You don't want any of the other options. Then you try and you're like, huh, what's wrong about this all that time?
Yeah.
Yeah, I would say that you eat bad.
No, 100%. Look, I never denied it. I'm not. That's one thing I'm going to sit here and not pretend like.
I think Madeline and I have this tendency to like try to, you know, sort of appease the guests or whatever. It's like, no, you're doing good or whatever. No, you eat free crap.
Yeah.
Though I was thinking about it, and we do eat more or less the same. I like try to pepper in like a. Like today, for whatever reason, it was like lunchtime. I was like, I'm going to cook a bunch of Brussels sprouts.
Ooh.
And I cooked them and I ate them. And I was like, what the fuck am I doing eating one? Who eats Brussels sprouts at noon? It's like such a weird time to eat a Brussels sprout.
It feels like it's like a nighttime winter food.
Yeah. And I realized, like, I don't remember the last time I turned on the oven before like dinner time.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
It's not like a cooking time of day.
Love Brussels sprouts.
They're great. Oh.
I wish someone would cook them for me. I just wish I
You should have come over at noon.
I wish I had them all the time, but I don't, I just don't cook enough to eat them.
And you can now you have your oven back. You can pan.
Yeah, I pan sauteed some shaved Brussels sprouts. It's pretty good.
Shaved. Ooh, that's like, I've only seen that in the restaurants.
Yeah, well, you can get a bag of them at Trader Joe's.
Oh, really?
Welcome to the Definitely Dying Cooking Show.
Do you like any vegetables?
I do. And I'm trying to eat more. Like, the whole thing is like, the older I get, the more I'm realizing that the stuff that I eat is bad. But I also think, and this is like, this isn't like rooted in any type of science, so to speak, but it's the idea of being like, I think because I've eaten so bad and I've ate so bad for so many years that like it has truly made me immune to like, you know, so like I'll have like, I remember like I would like sit stuff out. Like if I take something out of the refrigerator, like if I want to heat it up, especially depending on what it is, like I'll let it kind of like get uncold. So like when I heat it up, it's cooked better. And people would be like, dude, that's like, it's probably got like bacteria, like it's probably good all type of stuff. And like, and I'm like, I don't know. Yeah. But like, I don't get sick from stuff like that. I don't. But I think so. My body's like, we already know, man. Yeah. Like, I feel like if I started to like introduce the healthy stuff, that's when my body would like actually start to like break down.
I think that way too. Yeah. That like after like, especially when you hear about these guys, these like 70-year-old, like I'll just say Jewish men for this particular story, but it's not explicitly Jewish men. But you hear about these like 70-year-old Jewish men, and they have like this heart condition, and then the doctor's like, lay off the pastrami or whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, I've been eating pastrami every day for 40 years. Yeah. You're telling me that like that I'm going to be better off with the cravings of pastrami than I am by not eating like a fatty meat? Like, no, my body is going to collapse immediately because it has 40 years of experience doing this thing, you know?
That's how I feel about bread. Like, I know everybody's like, don't eat bread. It's not good. And anytime I, like, when I was younger, I, going into college, I, like, tried to not eat bread at all because I was, like, crazy. And, like, everybody, like, thought they were supposed to be so thin. And it was, like, horrible, and I cried all the time. And then I never went on a diet. Like, I mean, I've talked about on this podcast how much I think, like, a diet's bad. Like, I never, ever did it except for one time a mean manager out here. I, like, really early in my time in L.A. was like, yeah, lose 20 pounds and come back here. She was like, just, what are you, like, 24? Stop eating bread for a couple weeks. And I was like, fuck you. But okay, I'll try to stop eating bread. And I truly tried I made it 5 hours and felt so viscerally, like, upset by it that I was like, this is not good. This is not supposed to be, like, this is not how I'm going to live. I need to just have a little bit of bread. I don't even eat that much bread.
You need bread.
I need to eat some.
Eat bread.
Yeah.
What is your favorite food?
Ooh.
Like, if you could only have one.
Lasagna.
Lasagna?
Mm. Yeah.
Is it, like, a specific lasagna or just any lasagna will do?
Preferably, like, a cheesy, meaty lasagna.
Yeah.
But not, like, your mom's lasagna or something.
No, my mom isn't a cook. But my mom cooked, and, like, but my mom worked so much that, like, I think that's what, you know, like, kind of what my love of fast food and stuff came from because, you know, like, my mom worked so much because, like I said, she was a single parent and she had, like, three kids. So, like, when she would come home from work, that's when she would just bring us food. And then every now and then, like, when she had the time or when it was, like, a holiday or something, she'd make food. And I thought it was good. you know. And I mean, but I only said that apprehensively because my mom will be like, "Oh, my food is, I'm okay." Like my mom will admit, like it's like I'm not the best cook. Like, you know, I think I did whatever, you know, like I think my food was fine. But like she would like, but she was the one that put it in my head being like, "Oh, maybe my mom's food wasn't as good as I thought it was." Yeah. But like, but yeah, but my mom wasn't the woman who was like, "Oh man, every Sunday, mama in the kitchen." You know, I was like, that didn't happen.
So what day was she in the kitchen? It
wasn't I don't know, sporadically. Like I always tell a story because even like something like Thanksgiving, which was a tradition in my house growing up, was for Thanksgiving my mom would buy a pizza the day before because pizza places would be closed on Thanksgiving, and then on Thanksgiving we would eat the pizza and eat the pizza and then we would go to the movies, and to me I was always like, this is great, you know.
So you basically have the Thanksgiving equivalent of like a Jewish Christmas.
Yeah. That was it.
Yeah. Want to play a game?
Okay.
Well, with that enthusiasm,
I mean, I'm here. You got me for at least, 20 more minutes or so. So I guess, let's play it.
I guess my question is, do you want to stay?
Yeah. I got the time. Yeah, I got the time.
So we're going to play a game. It's a would you rather game.
Okay.
It's going to be a little health related. We'll all play.
Great.
And so this is this game is would you rather the more or less edition. So each of these things is, well, I'm not even going to attempt to explain it. We'll dive right in. Dive? Is that what you do? Dive in?
Yeah, okay. I think
yeah,
yeah
you
I think
don't.
That's what it is.
Yeah,
thank
I know.
I've offended you said that. To me.
Ronnie, we're gonna jive.
All right then, let's go ahead and do this game, suckers.
Okay. Would you rather more or less addition? Okay. Number one, would you rather diarrhea or constipation?
Oh, I mean.
Severe diarrhea or severe constipation?
Severe diarrhea any day of the damn.
Yeah, you're like, because you already have.
I already pretty much have constipation.
Every day of the damn. Diarrhea or constipation?
I think I'm going to go constipation. Yeah. Let me ask, does it hurt? I always think, isn't constipation when it's just like you can't, like it, you can't go?
I think you're really nauseous and bloated.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I think. I guess I've been sort
Not
of constipated.
Always nauseous, but you just like, I gotta poop.
Well, this one is accompanying
is
some nausea.
Happen? Oh.
You can assume that if there might be nausea in this game, there's nausea.
All right. I mean, so what are the symptoms of the diarrhea?
Also nausea, cramping, and you're
and the surprise, probably the surprise factor.
The surprise factor, yeah. You probably, I think in both situations, you want to stay pretty close to the can just in case.
Mm-hmm.
With constipation, I feel like probably with constipation, you like sit down on the toilet quite a bit and like try to push one out, and then it doesn't work, and then you get a hernia.
How often does everybody, how many times a day does everybody poop?
50.
No.
All right, I just made up a number. I wasn't really thinking. I just decided 50 was my go-to. Now, does it count if you... Nah, I'm not going to...
Poop a little?
Like if you poop multiple times in the same poop?
Oh, no. No. Like,
that's just one.
That's one.
Wait,
like
have you gotten
down.
Up like, oh, let me start? Oh, no, no, and then sit back down? Or is it just like, oh, no, it's
You're
just
like sitting
some
time. The whole time, right?
Yeah. No, I do what Ronnie said. I'm like, oh, no, no. Oh, no, no. No, and yeah, I keep sitting and then... I'll like I do what I think I do what most dads do. I'll sit down, have a poop, read a long article, have another poop, and go about my day.
Yeah, that's one.
One.
That's one thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
I remember growing up. This is what I realized when I was growing up. I used to poop maybe like once a week.
No,
like
Ronnie.
Once or twice a week, and everyone would be like pooping every day. And it wasn't until like somebody was telling me this, I was like, man, y'all poop way too much. But I realized, oh no, I poop way too little. Right. I swear. And I would be like, what? Like, I just didn't, I was like, huh? Like, and I take so long in the bathroom. Like, I'm very cleanly. Let's put it like this. Like, I'm making sure to be like, it's all cleaned up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So, like, gotcha. It's very detrimental to, like, my time and my effort and to, like, toilet paper. But, like, but yeah, so that, like, to me, like, once or twice a week was like, all right, that feels like enough. You know?
Yeah.
But, like, when I found that out, I was like, huh? And I think I don't feel, and I probably feel like I'm still not as regular as other people, but I feel like I'm more on track to be regular than I ever was before.
So you definitely don't, there are some days where you don't poop at all.
Mm-hmm.
How many times would you say you poop a week? If you want to consult your poop journal.
Now that I can text it to myself, I'm going to start doing that. I don't know, like, if there's 7 days in a week, possibly 4 to 5, I guess, maybe now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's
not a lot of pooping.
No.
which I didn't think was weird.
Yeah.
But, like, nah.
It kind of makes sense. Well.
Especially when you consider you have, like, a Chicken Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Like, you, it's not like you're eating. Well, I guess maybe you're not eating a lot of fiber.
Sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. That it checks out if you're not eating a ton of vegetables, maybe.
Yeah.
But also, because I eat similarly the same things, then I also started to be able to recognize what was making me poop.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm a big, like, juice fan because I don't drink.
Oh.
And I hate water.
Yeah.
I drink, like, juice and stuff, and I definitely was really big in apple juice. And I got to figure out which apple juices make me poop. I was like, I can't buy this Target brand apple juice. And then, or it'd be like, oh, okay, well, Mott's is okay. Like, I still drink Mott's, but Mott's has a bigger effect on me than Treetop. Like, it's like, I'm dead serious. Like, I know which ones, like, I could, like, work best for me.
It sounds like a game show. Yeah. Which apple juice makes me poop?
Or like a commercial, Mott's makes Ronnie poop.
Yeah, dude. I mean, if you want to be serious, like, I some of the apple juices I had to cut out because I was like, I can't spend this time on the toilet, so I can't be drinking these apple juices. It's true. These facts.
Yeah, these are facts. You can fact check these at HillaryClinton.com.
Yeah, but be sure to check her emails as well. Her emails. Still talking about those?
Yeah. We are on this podcast. All right, you guys ready for number two?
Yeah.
How many? Dry mouth versus too much saliva. You know that thing where you just have to, like, spit all the time? Mm-hmm. Like, I see it, like, it feels like baseball players, like, they always just, they have, like, their, there's just a too much wet in their mouth.
Yeah.
So, really bad dry mouth. You got your answer?
I have my answer, yeah.
Right. Too much saliva.
Too much saliva over dry mouth?
Mm-hmm.
Me too.
Too much,
I hate a dry mouth.
Yeah, dry mouth is rough.
Makes you feel, like, panicked.
Yeah. All right, we're all going to go dry mouth on this one. Dry or, sorry, we're all going to.
It's too much saliva.
Yeah, too much saliva.
How
is
much
the
are you often dehydrated?
Because I don't drink much water, I don't know.
Oh, right.
What color is your pee normally?
Yeah, very dark. Which I also didn't realize was bad until everyone was like, "Yeah, it should be clear." I was like, "What?"
Then,
like,
you are dehydrated. Yeah,
because I'd be like, "Oh, look at that, dude. That's some strong pee." But I'm like, "Oh yeah, whatever." But I have over the last month, I've made a conscious effort to, like, drink more water or try. So while I know I don't definitely get the recommended amount, I definitely drink more than I used to.
That's good.
Like, and so nowadays I see my pee is a lot clearer than it was.
Is.
I'm like, oh, okay. I was like, oh, that's the pee that people drink. Like,
So, did it used to look like apple juice, basically?
I mean, no. It was
darker,
like,
darker than that.
No, it just looked like I don't know how to describe it. Like, it looked like what I think butter on popcorn looks like.
Okay,
like,
yeah.
It looked more like that color.
Wait, was it thick like that?
No, okay, no, it was very liquid. Okay, it was very yellow. Very yellow.
I love this part of the conversation.
I know, this is really eye-opening.
I mean, but it's just
like a cactus.
Yeah, dude, it's just, but it really is like, I don't even know how I've survived this one, because I just did not, like, I would get most of my water rather from, like juice, so to speak, or like Kool-Aid when I used to drink it, which I had to stop drinking it because I, once again, I made my, like, I can't, for some reason, I can't taste high amounts of sugar.
Oh, no.
Because I obviously, like, just continued as I grew to, like, put more sugar and stuff, and it never affected me. But what I realized is, like, when I have too much sugar, and this is how I realize, and it's part of the reason why I don't really get sick, is because, like, once I have too much sugar, I'll feel it in my throat. Like, my throat will start, and I go, oh, I'm having too much sugar. And that's when I have to start, like, not, I'm eating really much sugary, or drinking sugary stuff, and, like, drink more water.
Yeah.
And, but I remember, like, I used to make Kool-Aid all the time. But like I said, I would have to have sugar in my Kool-Aid. And I didn't necessarily think it was bad. I'd be like, oh, you know, I'd be drinking it. And it wasn't like other people would drink it, be like, what the fuck is this? And it's so thick. And I was like, oh, I can't taste it. But then that's when I realized, like, oh, like, even though I can't taste it, this sugar is tearing my throat apart. Like,
you need other people to tell you.
Yeah, I need other people to tell me how much sugar was in it.
I have a follow-up question. How do you have such nice teeth?
That is, I don't know. I'm genetics, I guess.
Like, you do you do not have the teeth of a person who can't taste how much sugar is in your Kool-Aid.
I mean, like, and look, I do the, I do the regular amount of stuff. I don't do extra stuff. I haven't been to the dentist in years, which I'm not saying is good. I definitely should go. And when I get insurance, guys, maybe I will. Yeah. Maybe I will. Like, on all accounts, I know this is a podcast about death and all this stuff. On all accounts, the amount that I do not go to a doctor and or a dentist and or other things involved in my health, I should be worse than I am. I truly am living the best life for someone who takes very, very limited care of themselves.
It's all in those damn hands. No, you're in general, you do have the appearance of a guy who takes good care of himself.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And the reality is you do not. You do opposite.
I do not.
I do, it's though. Pissing I me think off. It supports the theory that, like, one of the biggest things that makes us sick is, like, worry. Mm-hmm. Like, I know that's, like, a really, like, sort of reductive. Like, I know, like, some people get sick and then they're very sick and it's not because they worried about it. But, like, I do think, like, a little bit of, like, eating garbage but not being obsessed with what you eat. Mm-hmm. Like, and, you know, drinking a bunch of apple juice and no water, but, like, not, but, like, being, like, tied in a knot every day like, you know, counting the amount of juice you have. Like, I think that makes more of an impact than we give it credit
for. No question. Mm-hmm. At the very least, it's an exacerbator. Yeah. Like, if something else made you sick, worrying about it is going to make it worse. Yeah. No question.
Definitely. I was reading something the other day, and it really does. You do really realize, like, how much other stuff affects you. Like, I try not to, like I said, I try to, like, I don't want to say be positive, because anyone who knows me knows that I'm not necessarily the most positive person. But, like, you know, in that sense, I try to, like, you know, to have a positive outlook, so to speak, on in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. And but there was a thing I was like, it was yesterday, and I was like, oh man, I really want to get a pizza. I want to call it. And then I just spent a little bit too much time on Facebook, and you know, and right now it's the hot button issue time. Yeah. So, like, you know, you're really kind of digging into this stuff, and like, it really did, like, reading that stuff or just reading this kind of things and, like, reading, like, people's thoughts on type of stuff, you know, and it really did bring me down to the point where afterwards I was like, I don't even want to eat anymore. I don't want to do it. And I was like, oh, like, this stuff really does affect your mood in the same way as the other kind of stuff. Don't get me wrong. Like, I still got the pizza. and I ate it. It was fine. I'm getting fries now. I'm adding fries to my repertoire. Like, I get fries from more places and whatever. So more, even more worse foods. But I mean, potatoes, that's vegetables or whatever. But, like, yeah, like, I honestly think, like, I do think there's, like, that thing of being, like, obviously, in this world, I do think there is, you know, people who actually, you know, like, have kind of, like, genetic, you know, rather if it be, like, mental illness and all that type of stuff, that makes them a little bit more, you know, susceptible to kind of whatever those things are. But then I also believe that, you know, aside from those people, there are people who have these experiences. But I do think it is because it is one of those things that, like, I would lean that it is more towards, like, A, like, the way they view it or the way that they let it, like, affect them in that way. And also, like what you said, like, you know, worrying about things in a way that necessarily, like, makes the fruition of what they're worrying about kind of, you know, manifest itself, you know, physically in them. I don't know.
I think that's what we do a lot of. I think worry and then manifest it, at least slightly. Yeah.
For sure.
All right, last question.
Okay.
Too hot versus too cold. And this is a situation, so okay. Too cold means you're outside, it's really cold, you don't have a jacket, you got to stay out there.
Yeah.
Too hot, you're inside, you're in a situation where you can't remove any layers, you have to keep these clothes on. Ooh. Too hot. Too hot versus too cold. For the win, Ronnie.
I think I'm going to go too hot.
Too hot? You'd prefer too hot?
Yeah.
Madeline?
Me too.
Too hot?
Yeah, I hate being cold.
I hate being cold too. I would have said, I taught a class like yesterday, and I was seated right beneath the air conditioning unit, or right the vent at the at Clubhouse, and I don't remember ever being so miserable, but I would have told you up until that moment, I've had a very privileged life. I have a temperature control guy at all times. No, but he was like, it was horrifying. And I would have told you up until that moment that, like, oh no, too hot is definitely worse. Yeah. Like being all sweaty and gross and like having nothing to do about it. But I think I'm going to go too cold also.
I mean, I think there is that aspect of being like it, but I get cold very easily.
Yes.
That's what people are just like, you know, why are you outside? Like, I get cold very easily. So, like, even for me, like, I don't know, who's, like, hot-blooded animals? Like, snakes or some shit?
No, we're all hot-blooded animals.
Sorry?
Snakes are cold-blooded.
Some, okay.
Mammals are hot-blooded.
Okay.
I don't know.
Once again, I'm learning every day, everybody. Learning every day. But, like, yeah, like, I would much rather be in a situation where, like, I just am like, I'll be hot and then just like kind of just stay whatever in that hot zone. It's like, all right, then like being too cold.
Yeah.
So
you kind of can't function too cold.
No.
Like you can't speak. You just sort of shiver.
Yeah.
When you're too hot, you're miserable and you're not nice to be around, but you can like kind of live your life.
Yeah.
Well, we've all agreed. Zig, where do you stand on the too hot versus too cold?
Too cold. I'd rather be too cold. Yeah. Yeah.
What about diarrhea versus constipation?
I'll take diarrhea.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
What about diarrhea versus dry mouth? No, okay. Dry mouth versus too much saliva.
I'll take saliva. I'd rather have too much saliva.
Okay. Good. Good answers. Yeah. Good answers all around. Thanks, Zig.
Ronnie, is there anything you'd like to plug before we say a final goodnight?
No. They already told my said things that I do here at the beginning of the podcast, so just hit that rewind button and you can know what I'm doing. Or if you're just lazy, I guess I'll go over it again. Wednesdays at 11 at UCB Franklin, I host the cage match. It's always a fun time. Every second Friday, UCB Sunset, 10:30. My team, White Women, we perform Your Token Friend. We usually have a special guest that comes and like talks to us and then improvises with us. We've had some really great guests like Reggie Watts, Lamorne Morris, Eugene Cordero, people like that. I'm on Harold Knight.
Dragons.
The Dragons. Look at that. Those can rather be a Monday, a Thursday, or a Friday. I have a Twitter account that I'm not on, so you can look it up if you want, but there's no point because I don't tweet and or look at it.
I looked it up. You haven't tweeted since 2012.
And I only tweeted maybe once as like a joke to a friend about something because he was really into like the Obama campaign at one point. So like I texted him. I tweeted at him about something as like a sort of a bit. And that's the only tweet that was on there. You can look at my Instagram, but okay. Like, you can find that. Don't Facebook friend me because that'll be weird if I don't know you. I usually make people I don't know sit in the request. So, like,
like any plugs, Ronnie? Don't Facebook friend
request.
Yeah,
don't. Like, if I don't know you, like, it's weird. Like, I say that, even if, like, I just need to put a face to you. I don't necessarily say we have to be, like, best buds, but if I have spoken to you, then it's like, okay, we could be friends. But, like, I don't know. I feel it's so weird to be like, how do I know this person? Why would I accept your friendship? Like, I don't know
you.
I
heard you on a podcast.
I don't know you. But you can follow me on Instagram, Bones Adrian.
Bones Adrian.
So Instagram, you see me. It's a total. It's a ton of pictures of me. Yes, yes, Ben. Okay. I lived the life before I was an improviser.
I don't even know what life you're talking about. Yeah,
dude, I've lived multiple lives before I was an improviser, and that was just one of them.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having me. Thank you.
For a podcast of, like, not necessarily knowing what I was going to have to do, this turned out to be really fun.
Nice. Thank you.
Even if though it is a podcast about death, we're all dying, do what you love, quit. Quit your job. Go after the person that you want. Like, continue to, I don't know, what's all those cliche things? Just let your hair down or cut your hair off. Take that trip. Worry about the money later. Like, whatever people say.
That was your plug.
Worry about the money later, folks. Worry
about it later. Cut your hair off. Worry about the money later.
Worry about the money later.
Ronnie Adrian, ladies and gentlemen.
Folks, we have another listener call-in for you. We really enjoy getting these. This one is from Julia, who has a wild, wild story about a lot of bees. Give it a listen.
Hi, my name is Julia, and I'm calling to tell you about the time I got stung by, like, 27 bees. I was working as a camp counselor at, not even a counselor, honestly, like a team helper. At a camp for kids that were developmentally disabled or, like, on the autism spectrum. So we'd all gone on a hike, and I'm already, like, I don't know, not the most outdoorsy person. And one of the kids kicked over a rock, and the rock was housing a full-on, like, colony of bees. And so suddenly it was just, like, total anarchy. Everyone was screaming and crying, and everyone was being stung. And I was getting stung and in pain. And, like, one of the other wiser teen helpers was like, get in the river, just, like, get everyone down to the river. So I started kind of tossing children into the river, trying to save them from being stung more times, and I had some, like, weird, like, single mother strength or something, but I was, like, 16, so I'm, like, throwing kids in, I'm trying to save myself. One kid, like, has sort of, like, a leg injury, so he can't really walk. I literally, like, hoisted him up, carried him through the river, and his croc fell off, like, his shoe. He had a cute little croc, and it went down the river, and I was freaking out because I was like, I'm so sorry, we have to leave it behind. There's no time for your croc. So I, like, continue on, get all the kids packed up in the van. The camp director's like, I'm so sorry, like, we have to leave you and your brother. My brother was also a teen helper. So if you guys can just drive back by yourself, that'd be great. And then, like, spins off and leaves us in the woods, which was terrifying. So I'm, like, stung in the eyeball and, like, well, exaggeration, like, side of my eye. In all these different places, we eventually make it back to the car, and I'm, like, crying and screaming and shaking and just completely covered in bee stings. Thank goodness none of these children were allergic. Anyways, I'm driving us home, and my brother's like, do you want me to drive? And I was like, no, we're going home. I literally drove us home. I didn't drive us back to camp. I'm a bad teen helper. But again, thank goodness I wasn't deathly allergic to bees and survived, and we all made it out. Bye.
That was such a great story. My favorite part was just the lone croc floating down the river. Guys, keep these coming. They're awesome. And also, Julia, if you want a t-shirt for sharing, hit us up on Twitter or I guess Insta or any of the places you might reach us. And guys, if you have a story you want to share, call us at 323-388-3879 and leave us a voicemail about your definitely dying experience. Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best definitely dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong or actually getting sick or a wild injury story, basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying Hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. Yeah. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun?
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.